The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Morning, how are you? So I have this because I have so much junk in my throat. I'm going to keep drinking all morning. I apologize. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to flip to about four or five different places this morning. So if you have a phone, turn in there. If you're looking for a Bible, there should be one somewhere under you. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you are with us, this won't be a surprise to you if you kind of call this place home. If you don't, like you're a visitor for whatever reason, glad you're here. So really all we do, like I really do, in all honesty, people will tell you, like you probably will get bored of hearing me preach because I basically am saying the same thing every week, and it ultimately is this: I want you to go find Jesus, right? Like that's really the bottom line, regardless of how we say it. It's just I'm pushing people to Jesus. And so this morning will be a little bit rough for me personally, because if I'm being honest, like I'm just really sad. And here's why. And so this has to do with where we're going this morning. But so I keep meeting people who believe what people have told them more than they believe Jesus. And that just makes me sad. So let me give you the most recent example. And this is actually quite normal for me recently, for whatever reason. And so I met this person, and They told me, I said, hey, what's the reason why you are struggling to believe that God loves you? And so just straight up, for real, the person looked at me and said, well, because I'm gay, and so I've been told that that means God can't love me. And so like I just listened to this woman say this, and like my heart just broke, and here was my thought. Not in like a mean way or a rude way, but my thought was, who told you that? And not because, like, I'm going to go beat him up or do anything crazy, right? Like, I just thought, like who told you that? Because what was so obvious to me as she was talking was, like, she believed that. Like, she believed that deep. Like, I'm talking about that was a demonic stronghold in her belief system that is causing her to reject Jesus. Because if I'm being honest, she believed what somebody told her more than she believed Jesus. And here's the reality. Like, I see this all the time. Christians, non-Christians, like, this is just normal. That people will put more stock in what someone has told you than Jesus. And can I tell you why we do that? Because most of us, believer or non-believer, we don't go to Jesus that much. We go to other people. Or we go to other things. And so we believe other things, or we believe experts, but we tend to not actually go to Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? So here's what I'm going to do with you this morning, is I'm just going to push us to Jesus. And so I want to give you this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. It's one of my favorite verses, and I'll tell you why. Because I think it is a perfect picture of how you and I grow in our relationship with the Lord, and I think we get it backwards. Watch this. It says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding what? The glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So I want you to look at it again, but here's what I want to point out to you. His point is there's something going on that transforms you to become more like God, more like Jesus. There's this thing that's going on that causes you to become more like him. And so every single person in here who's a believer is going to tell me that we should become more like Jesus. And so I want to pose the question, how is it that we become more like Jesus? And so here's what I want you to see. Verse 19. And we all with unveiled face beholding what? What does it say? Beholding the glory of the Lord are what? Being transformed. I think most of us read it this way. If I can get transformed, then I can behold the glory of the Lord. If I can change my behavior or my heart or my attitude or do a list of the things I'm supposed to do, if I can transform myself, then I get to see him. You see the massive difference? He says, no. You want to know how you get changed? Is you just behold. You just see him. You interact with him. that Jesus is the change agent. That's radically different. You realize that, right? Because if I'm after transformation in my life and I think I get transformation by changing myself, then I don't really need to go to Jesus. But if I understand that, no, it's me going to Jesus and just seeing him. And you see this all throughout the scriptures, right? Whenever God shows up or Jesus shows up and people interact with them, with him, it does something, right? And so that's what I want to do with you this morning is I just want to push us to Jesus, like not to a concept about him, not to an idea where we want to look at it from different angles and question the mess out of it. Like I want to push us to the person and work of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus changes us. Jesus transforms us. So as this woman sat there and told me that, so the next thing I asked her besides who told you that was just like, but that's not my question. My question is, what has Jesus told you? What is the God of the universe looked at you in your face and said to you? Because that's different. I understand Christian people, non-Christian people, we say crazy stuff all the time. And my opinion and your opinion is irrelevant in light of his opinion, right? And so my heart is just sad because here's what I'm guessing. That there is a ton of us, myself included, right now, where there are things that we believe deep down because someone else said it or because the media portrayed it in a certain way, and we believe it not because Jesus told us, but someone else. And so this morning, we just want to go to Jesus and see what he might have for us. Make sense? Okay, now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, let me pray. Father, here's our hope this morning is that you would help us to behold the glory of you and your Son. You would grant us the power of the Holy Spirit to see you and to know you, and that we would interact with you. And so I know that there are people in this room, like even me saying that, like that's confusing. What do you mean? How do I interact with Jesus? And so for some of us, Father, my hope is that you would come and interact with us. Because some of us won't ask the right question or ask a question at all. And so would you be the one who initiates this morning? So we just surrender our hearts to you and we say, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to say, we want to know that. And we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so look at this. We read this a couple of weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. We're going to start in verse 23 of chapter 1. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." So here's where I need to interact for a second. I want you to find someone around you, doesn't matter whether you know him or not, and I want you to tell me, what does it mean that God is with us? I want you to answer that question because he just said, we call this Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So look at your neighbor and y'all exchange some answers. What does it mean that God is with us? How would you answer that question? You got some answers? All right. Some of y'all just yell out loud. What does it mean that God is with us? You're never alone. He's always there. God is everywhere. The Holy Spirit and other Christians.
He's to us like a bride and a groom.
Yeah, he's a bride and a groom. So here's what's interesting to me. I think sometimes we miss what I would call, this is probably a bad word, but what I would call just the audacity of what that just said, right? Because, like, we're so used to hearing it. But for most of, right, like, if you go way back, like, most of the Roman world and even to an extent the Jewish world, right, like for them, God was far off. He might interact with humanity in one way or another by doing something, but the reality is he was far off, right? And so here, like, God completely changes. He says, no, God is going to come and be with you. That this supernatural, eternal deity, this God and all the fullness of that word, like, he's going to come be with you. Part of why they had a hard time understanding that God would be with them is because they recognized he's God, right? Like, he's so huge and massive that it would be belittling for him to come be with humanity, that there had to be this separation. And that's exactly what it was, right? Paul in Philippians, he's actually going to use this word that God condescended himself, that he did belittle himself in becoming with us. And so here's my contention. I think part of the reason why you and I tend to not go to Jesus is because, I'll be honest, I don't think we actually believe he's with us. Like, honestly, if you thought he's always with you all the time, anytime, and it's God, I think we would just live differently if we actually believed. You mean God, not a lesser version of him. And so just to compound the solution, look at John chapter 14. We're almost done. Couple more verses. John chapter 14. I know you're like, man, is this Bible drill day? Why are we flipping so much? Because I want you to hear the Bible and not me. So John chapter 14. So Jesus about to go back to be with his Father. He says this, John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. He tells his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. Okay, so now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, what does it mean that God is in you? That God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. What does that mean? Look at your neighbor, give each other some answers. Excuse me. All right, what do you think? What does it mean that God is in you? You tell me, what does it mean that God is in you? God and the Holy Spirit. He's in your heart. Say that again. It's a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, okay? All the capacity of his love is in us, okay? He's an active participant in our lives. Yeah. He's always there for us and he never leaves us. That's good. Yeah, he's a voice in your head that helps you discern what's good, what's bad. Okay. So now here's a rhetorical question. How much do you interact with that God who is in you? I don't want you to answer that loud, but I want you to honestly think, how much do you interact with the God who is in you? Because my guess is a lot of you are like me, and that I'll be honest, I don't think I really grasp that God is in me, right? Like I think there's a version of him, there's a partiality of him, but like really him in me, I don't know. And so, like, I just want, once again, what I would call just the audacity of that to sink in. You mean that there is this eternal, supernatural, all-knowing deity, and he's in you? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And my guess is if you and I really believed that, we would live differently and we would interact with him differently. And so I think part of it is we just don't believe it. So I want you to look at John chapter 1. This is the last few verses. John chapter 1. And so as you turn there, let me say this. John the baptizer, he has this little phrase that I love. He says that God gives the Spirit without measure. And why I think that's important is because I think if we're being honest, some of us think he's given us measurements. And he's looked at you and he said, oh man, you look like a tablespoon kind of dude. And you look, oh, that's a teaspoon type of sister right there. Oh, him right there, yeah, he gets a full cup. Right? Like we parse it out for various reasons. And he says, no, he gives the Spirit without measure. He didn't measure and say, this is how much you can handle. Right? Like he says, no, you have God in you. So here's our last set of verses. So here's the reality. John the baptizer, he had these people that were following him. They were his disciples. And there was a day that came and he said, hey man, that's Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. And he began to explain some stuff about Jesus. And then look at this in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. So they're John's disciples, not Jesus. Verse 36. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they did what? Why? Good job. I love it. Why? Why did they follow Jesus? Not a rhetorical question. Why did they follow Jesus? They wanted to see what? They wanted to see him in the manger? They wanted to see him for sure. Good job. What else? John told him he was the Lamb of God. You know what I'm convinced of that most of us do? Is we keep following John. My contention is this. Most of us find and attach ourselves, whether it's a preacher, a pastor, a Bible study, we attach ourselves to the thing that's helping us to know Jesus, but then we just keep following that person. You know how ridiculous that would have been if John says, hey, here, my whole mission is to get you to follow Jesus, and so I'm going to point to him, but I want you to keep following me so I can tell you more about him. I want you to keep coming to my Bible studies, keep coming to my little fellowship so I can tell you about Jesus. In other words, John just says, man, you don't get it. Jesus is the point, and now that he's here, stop hanging out with me and just go hang out with Jesus. That's our word this morning. I don't know who you're hanging out with. I don't know what you're doing, but here's the message Jesus has for you. If you are a believer in Jesus, then God is inside of you. You have access to God, and he wants to hang out with you. And so you got questions, and you got things you do believe and things you don't believe, and you have the ability to go to Jesus for all those answers. What would it look like if Jesus' church just started following Jesus rather than what people said about him? And then for those of you who may be like, man, I'm not really into the Jesus thing, here'd be my contention. Stop following what other people say about Jesus. Right? Like what if you just went to the source? And so here's what's weird about a message like this. It's not, I'm trying to think of the right word. This is just the way I talk, so I apologize. This is the only word I can think of. Like, this message isn't sexy. It's not fun, right? Like, it doesn't get you riled up. Sometimes you come in here, and, like, I do my thing, and I can just see it on your face. Like I can get you riled up. And this is kind of, like, almost boring. I can tell by the way you're looking at me. And you want to know why I think it's kind of boring to us? For some of us, it's because we got no freaking clue how to go to Jesus. For others of us, it's kind of boring because in all honesty, we have this belief that says, oh, he's not going to show up. He's not going to answer my question. I don't know how to talk to him. I don't know how to interact with him. What happens if I ask him a question and he doesn't give me the answer? And so there's so much fear wrapped up in that. And so here's how we're going to end our time. I feel so bad for Josiah because he has like sung his lungs out the last few days, but he's going to come back up here and the band's going to sing. And here's why. Because I don't know what questions you have, and even if I did, and even if I was convinced that Jesus has told me the answer, you want to know what's going to change you? Is if Jesus tells you the answer. There's this season, right? Like we're in Christmas season, and some of you love it, some of you are happy, and some of you, if you're being honest, you don't even like Christmas, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like just Christmas for you is a sorrowful time because maybe loved ones have passed away or something's happened in your world. And so for you, it's just hard. And so this is why I just want to remind you, if God is with us, then we get to be with him. The beauty of Jesus, ultimately, is that he's with us. So that means when I'm suffering, he's there with me, and I get to talk to him about my suffering, and he can give me peace in the midst of it. And the beauty of Jesus is that he can give me a reason to be joyful. And the beauty of Jesus is that he has at his disposal all answers. What I love so much about Jesus is that we just get him and all that he brings. So I'm going to pray, and as we sing this song, you can sing, you can do whatever you want, but here's why we're doing this, because we just want to create space for you to interact with Jesus. And if you're sitting here thinking, like, I don't know what to do about that, how do I do that? I would just say, just talk to him like he's any other person. Not because he is any other person, but I just think if you would wrap your heart around how would you talk to your friend, then just give him your heart. If you have a question, ask him, and just see what happens. Try to listen to him. Because if you want to be changed, it's not going to come because you know more of your Bible. It's not going to come because you do good Christian things. It's going to come because you've interacted with Jesus. So, Father, we give our heart to you this morning. And I think sometimes we confuse what is simple with what is hard. Because that's a simple idea, right? Go to Jesus. That's simple. And I think somehow we've made it really hard. So, Father, would you help us to talk to you this morning? Would you help us to be honest and vulnerable? I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would even bring up now the very questions you want people to ask. I pray for those in the room who are in the midst of some junk and they want to know, why did you do that? I pray you talk to them about it. I pray for those who are good and life is good and they're happy, that you would talk to them about it, that you'd remind them every good gift comes down from the Father. So Holy Spirit, who is inside of us, help us to be aware of your presence. Draw us out. And those of us who are scared or nervous to talk to you, Father God, just graciously woo us out of that fear. Those of us in the room who have believed some lies, I pray, Father God, you would help us to ask you the question, is this true? Is that right? That we would just have a ministry time of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So, Father, thank you for being the God who is with us. Please help us to interact in spirit and in truth, we pray.